Hello and welcome back to Stanima, a Survivor Panama rewatch podcast brought to you by the Bitter Jurors Network for the Survivor off season. As always, I'm your host Christine Catlin, and I'm back after a week off. Last week I was in Iceland, so obviously was not going to record the podcast on vacation. As much as I love talking about Survivor, I too sometimes need a break. But we are back, and what an episode to be back with. We are back with Farkad's Sake, which is episode 5 of Survivor Panama. It aired on March 2nd, 2006. This vote is one of my favorite, like, old school Survivor votes, one of my favorite pre-merge votes. And it's just a deeply, profoundly funny episode for many reasons. And I had to have two deeply, profoundly funny people to join me for this week because last they joined me for Stanawatu, and we had quite the time. There was a Sarah Lucina impression. There was a lot going on. That was the thing that stood out for me the most, was the Sarah Lucina impression. Who knows? Maybe we'll get one now. I'll introduce them. First up, I have Matt Gagan. Matt is a lifelong TV enthusiast, host of the critically acclaimed Lonely Boys podcast, Survivor fan since 2001, and the best Survivor tweeter in the game. And I'm also joined by Lita Brillman. Lita is a lifelong Survivor fan and a longtime contributor to Rob Has a Podcast. She holds a master's in public administration from the University of Pittsburgh, which she put to use most recently by becoming a losing finalist for Pittsburgh City Council. Despite this, she still harbors a passion for human and animal rights and will continue to serve her community. Welcome back, Matt and Lita.
We're back by popular demand. So happy to be here. Thank you for having us again.
Hi, Christine. I watched the wrong episode.
Oh, great. We're off to a good start.
I was trying to telegraph to Maddie.
Oh, no. How did that happen?
I went back in our DMs. I thought we were watching the shitty apartment one.
Well, no.
Lita, do you need to pause and watch the episode?
I don't know. Let me see what happens in this episode. Oh, wow.
We're off to a really good start.
That this is
Yeah.
wow.
Is this unprecedented?
Yes.
Wait. No, I think I'm right. I'm looking at our DMs.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're right?
No.
We had said we're gonna do For COD's Sake, the Casa de Charmin episode, and you said, Christine, you said you can edit all this out, but it would have to be the 11th because I will be getting home from Iceland the second. So if the oh,
So if
if
the
the
11th is
11th
impossible.
isn't possible, we can go for the shitty
Oh,
apartment medical
I'm
emergency.
keeping this in.
Oh, my flight was canceled out of Maine yesterday. I just want everybody to know. So it's a 12-hour drive
Wait,
from Portland,
this
Maine, to Pennsylvania. I'm very tired. I got home at 5 o'clock, immediately threw on the episode, and was here recording this on time.
This is really
There's
funny
not
because I
going
actually had a nightmare about this very podcast, and now you're like living through an actual nightmare. You'd think this would just be a dream, but no, I
What was
mentioned in the
crazy?
pre-pod banter. Oh, you go. Tell me what was crazy.
What was crazy was, like, when I saw that it was the medical emergency, even like knowing it was the medical emergency episode, I was like, damn, I guess it goes out earlier than I remember. Oh, are we not doing spoilers? That you
I'll
can edit
bleep it
out.
out. I'll bleep it out. And you'll get it out.
I guess
Thank you
this
for
person
the
goes out earlier than I remember because I don't think Christine has done that many episodes of this yet. And then I put it on and it said episode 11. And I was like, maybe she's just like breezing through these. I don't know, but I didn't really think about it.
Now, I mentioned in the pre-pod banter that I just took a nap. During my nap, I was, falling asleep while watching Jeopardy. So I said, let me give some shut eye. Let me set my alarm for 6 so that I know at least I'll have time to watch the episode and then come on for when we're recording. And in my dream, next thing I knew, I woke up in my dream at 8:20 and I was like, shit, I am late for the podcast. What do I do? And I was so scared. I was calling Lita, and Lita was like, yeah, I don't know what we're gonna do. Can you try to get in touch with Christine? Because she's like really freaking out right now. She doesn't know what to do. And I'm like trying to text out an apology to you, and it's not working. I didn't know. So that, and then I woke up at 6 and I was like, oh my God, that was just a dream. But it really messed me up. I don't know why it was putting so much pressure on me for this.
All right, Lita, how do you want to proceed?
I have
pretty detailed notes.
So here's the thing. And I know anybody listening at home would be like, you absolute dummy, go back and watch the episode. I've seen Survivor Panama many, many, many times. Mm-hmm. So it's really it's just like the little things that I'll be missing. You know, I don't remember like the exact quotes.
I'm not gonna have a great episode title.
But it's not like I'm not gonna know what's going on. I'm not gonna be like, who the absolute hell is Ruth Marie and why are they talking about her, you know?
There's a character named Bob Dog on this show.
Yeah.
Okay, you should be able to look at my notes. I wrote down some quotes too, so you could steal an episode title.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not gonna steal an episode title. I'm above that. Let me just go on Paramount Plus and we'll just like watch it on mute with some subtitles.
This is great. This is really...
Okay, so I paused the recording so Lita could figure out Paramount Plus. And she also was trying to put subtitles on an ad. And we had to explain to her that you can't put subtitles on an ad. She's like, Paramount Plus doesn't have subtitles anymore. We're like, I think it does. Anyway, and then I realized my microphone wasn't connected. So it was going for my like earbuds microphone. We've been having a time, but I feel like that's very fitting because Kasaya is such a mess. I would like to think that this podcast trio is the Kasaya of podcasting. Wouldn't you think?
We really are. Yeah, we really are the Kasaya of podcasting. This has been said about as many times, I think, and will be said even more so going forward now, I have to believe.
I rocked my Kasaya buff during those early stages of the pandemic where we were all fucking stupid and like didn't know what it was. Like, as long as anything is covering your face. That's fine. So I love my Kasaya buff, so I'm happy to live up to this.
There we go. Okay, so getting to the episode, we've just lost Ruth Marie.
Oh, do we not Sally get to talk about our relationships with Survivor Panama?
Oh, I mean, we can. Sorry, Lita, to be fair, you really threw a wrench in my intro when I introduced you. The first thing you said was, I watched the wrong episode.
Honestly, the unprofessional hosting of this podcast is really what's turning me off.
Okay, Lita, Matt, what are your relationships with Survivor Panama?
After you, Maddie. I've lost the right to speak.
Yeah, you can mute yourself until told otherwise. For me... Panama, I remember it just because of the characters, obviously, but it was during that period where I was kind of not as obsessed with it as I was in my younger years. I was a mature 12-year-old at this point, still watching Survivor. And this was like in the era from like 11 to 14, maybe, where I was just kind of passively watching, maybe skipping the first few episodes and then jumping in, you know, right before the merge, before I would become re-obsessed with it. So I didn't have a huge memory of it. I have since rewatched it, I think in 2017, and it was definitely better than I remembered it. And I was excited to rewatch it, and still was never one of my favorite seasons though. But now maybe it's just after watching these modern seasons, after going back, I've been keeping along with the podcast, which is how I knew that we were up to episode 5. For this, rewatching it, it's so much better than I remember. It is now like one of the best seasons I've ever seen. I mean, like I said, just after watching the disaster that have been the last 4 seasons of Survivor, I'm like, this is what Survivor is. And this episode in particular had comedy and strategy and everything. Love that it was a Kasaya going to tribal council episode because we got so much of them. So that's my relationship to Panama. Was never my favorite season, but now is.
I'm sort of the opposite. I think this was really like full swing Survivor for me. I would say like the absolute peak for me was like Palau, Guatemala, Panama, because I was just obsessed with Stephanie LaGrosa. I had a friend that was too, and we were just super into it to the extent that in sixth grade, so this aired when I was in sixth grade, so I was like 11. And we all in science class had to take a crayfish home because I guess that's science. You didn't have to keep it alive. I did, but you didn't have to. It's not like you failed. I named my crayfish Gitanos because we got it shortly after the merge tribe, after the tribes merged on Survivor Panama. And I also remember visiting my grandparents in Florida, and they had gotten me a shirt that said Island Girl, and my mom made a patch that said Exile, so that it said Exile Island Girl.
I thought you were going to say you were so inspired by Bob Dog that you cut the head and the tail off of the fish from when you brought it home from school.
Yeah, that's probably a reference to this episode.
You're not up to it yet.
Oh yeah, just you'll get there soon.
You will get that in 10 minutes and it will be good.
Yeah, I kept Gitanos alive, but no way in hell were my parents going to pay for a crayfish sitter when we went on vacation. So I just went and let it go in a park, which I don't think you're allowed to do because it like could be an invasive species. But anyway, I hope Gitanos is out there just absolutely terrorizing Pittsburgh's North Park.
He's got like a whole like dynasty like of children.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I love Survivor Panama. This is, I think, a top five, definitely top 10, maybe top five season for me. I don't know where my official rankings live, but I love this season.
So where are you at in the episode right now, Lita? What's happening on your screen?
Aris, honestly, he kind of wants to go to Exile Island.
Okay, you're a little ahead of us.
And now they're going to come on in for a reward challenge because we're still doing those. Oh, I have one more thing to say about Exile Island as a season, or Panama, I guess, as we're calling it. When this was a couple years after this was airing, I was in Hebrew school, and this kid in my Hebrew school class was like, he found out that I was really into Survivor, and he was like, my friend's dad was on Survivor. And I was like, oh, who? And he was like, his name's Dan. He's an astronaut. And I was like, yeah, your face was exactly the face that I made. And I said, could you get me his autograph? And
he was like, astronaut Dan.
And his exact words were, are you serious?
I'm sure astronaut Dan was thrilled. Did you get it?
No, I didn't get it. I
Astronaut Dan big timed you?
Yeah, imagine the middle schooler asking him for an autograph and him being the one that says no. I'm pretty sure this kid in my class who I was not friends with, like, just didn't ask Astronaut Dan.
And probably never volunteered that information ever again.
So speaking of Astronaut Dan, at the top of this episode, he's quite upset that Ruth Marie has gone. I think Sally and Nick also will miss Ruth Marie, but he's the most upset about Ruth Marie. It's just, they're just all sad about Ruth Marie. Lamina's so boring. I mean, later. They get exciting later when they eat some beans. You haven't gotten there, Lita, but.
That's excitement. Yeah. Yeah. We're all, of course, devastated that Ruth Marie is gone. Sally's kind of embarrassing in this scene where she's just like, I'm just so happy the guys think I'm the best girl and that I'm the last girl standing. Instead of being like, oh man, the girls are gonna get him picked off, maybe I should do something about it, she's like, man, the guys really love me enough to pick off everyone else except for me. I'm so happy with this.
Yeah, it must be stated that Bob is the first man voted out of this season, so this is really reminiscent at this point, before Bob goes, of some modern Survivor seasons. But if this aired today, there would be Twitter stands talking about how robbed Ruth Marie was. I'm sure she does have stands. There's a stand for every woman,
of course,
but especially a woman over 40.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she is. She for sure has shooters.
A stand for every woman is a great political platform.
This is good. Maybe you'll be a winning finalist next time when you run.
Yeah,
run
you, that. You can take that. I give you credit.
A stand for every woman.
But the real action's on Kasaya because Bruce is designing his Zen rock garden. I love that he uses the term designing. He's designing his rock garden. Seeing this appear, it's like, on a rewatch, it's just like, oh, this is seeing like such an important plot point develop and knowing the conflict. I mean, in this very episode, the rock garden is the source of much contention with Courtney. But I do love that Kasaya has like set pieces with the
production
that
design
will slide
over on Kasaya.
Yeah, yeah, it's serving.
I can't believe it. I was so happy seeing this. I remembered it as soon as I started watching. It's just the most random stuff is always going on at Kasaya. Like, they don't need to be building rock gardens to be interesting because they're already a bunch of lunatics. But now Bruce is just going to decide to get even crazier and build his Zen rock garden. Sorry, design his Zen rock garden, of course.
Of course. It's designing
women.
Women, yes. Okay, I was gonna go ahead and make a designing women joke, and I was like, I shouldn't. And then I just stopped. I don't know why.
Yeah, I went to a couple of these people's Instagrams just to see what was going on. And I went to Bruce's and I was like, oh, cool. He looks like he's doing really good. And then I noticed that his profile picture just says, like, I stand with Israel always. I was like,
okay.
Checking up on the Survivor Panama.
You know, a lot of times the less we know, the better for these old Survivor seasons.
That's how I felt after looking at Lumberjack Tina's Twitter likes. They're quite dire.
Timber Tina.
Yeah, honestly.
She's very... more like Turf Tina is what her new title should be.
Yeah, very, very unfortunate.
But I loved Bruce's line of us. He's like, I said, I'm building a Zen place because my tribe lacks it in their souls.
I did not remember that Bruce was this funny, to be honest. Bruce is insane.
He hates these people.
I wanted to check up on his Instagram. I'm a big fan. Can a guy catch
Aris
a break?
Is not a fan, though. Aris is not a fan of Bruce. I forgot how much Aris hates Bruce, because he's just like, we need to boil water, and this joker is building a rock garden.
This joker. Yeah, if you can get some of that good wood, that's actually what we need right now, Bruce.
That's crazy. He has to bring good wood.
Good wood.
Like, when Bruce finally comes over, he's like, man, it's dire straits right now with the fire. Bruce just says, go get firewood to Aris. Just like, so.
I love it.
Like,
you can tell how much Aris, sorry, go on.
Well, these tribes manage to make fire when there's only like four of them left. Like, I think with the entire tribe there, Bruce can take a break and design a fucking rock garden.
You can tell how much Aris just absolutely hates the rock garden, because in the middle of the argument, he's like, you made your rock garden, no one was complaining. He just keeps bringing it back into it.
And it's so weird that Aris and Courtney are not just immediately 100% on board with the rock garden.
Right. You would
like,
think
Aris is not a yoga person. He's like an anti-vax yoga lunatic. Like, it seems like a rock garden would be right up his alley. Do you think he's jealous because
that he didn't think of it
to make a rock garden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, I was going to do the rock garden tomorrow. This is bullshit. Bruce beat me to it.
And Courtney's like, I already had a rock garden, but nobody liked it.
And Aris like gets mad and yells, and he's like, oh man, I shouldn't have yelled at Bruce, man, like that wasn't very like, he's like, man, and Bruce is like you attacked my character. And it's just a profound, again, so many, I love a Survivor argument that's like not an argument you would ever have in real life. Like, two adult human beings would never argue about someone making a rock garden while they should be making fire. Like, that's just this argument that could only possibly happen and on this show. Those are my favorite, and this is quite funny.
Also, kind of rich of Bruce to be like, you attacked my character when he had just said 5 seconds ago, I'm making a rock guard because there's no Zen in the souls of all of these people.
Yeah, Bruce, that's not very Zen of you.
Like, sorry, and I'm looking at Terry's stupid outfit.
And then, Lita, this is where Aris says, I kind of want to go to Exile Island. So that's where you were at the top of the episode.
Well, I'm so distracted every time I see Terry in this season, because it's like, clearly he thought that he was like Tom Westman genius because he was the only one that wore a swimsuit. But it's like, if you had the foresight to wear a swimsuit, why would you bring a yellow striped polo that looks ridiculous with the swimsuit? Like, why not wear a black t-shirt under your polo if you're thinking that far ahead? Like, I know the producers choose the clothes for you. You could surely at least wear like a tank top or something. He looks so silly. He tucks it into the to the swim shorts.
I mean, Terry's an idiot. There's not not much else I can say.
And that's going to get me in trouble because my brother is famously friends with Trish and Terry on Facebook, which is the joint Facebook account between Trish and her, wait, Terry and his wife, Trish.
There we go.
I would like to refer to Terry as Trish's husband from now on.
Well, she gets Trish in the Facebook name. He's always, once in a while, like, send me a screenshot of just, like, the most boring Facebook status you've ever seen and be like, just checking up on Trish and Terry.
So do we desire to talk much about the reward challenge? We definitely want to talk about the reward, but...
Of course.
But the one big thing is this, Bob is really good at chopping heads off of fish, man. Really bad at it. And Bob is like the Terminator.
I couldn't believe what I was watching. And you know what? I usually would skip a reward challenge, but you know, this was keeping my attention. This was really a come from behind win too. I mean, really, really just excitement for everyone.
It's worth it to see this embrace between Shane and Bob Dog here.
Tonight we eat. He jumps into his arms. It's so dramatic.
Do you want the rice or do you want the beans? Terry gravely says beans and lightning flashes behind him.
You know, Jeff S., the only thing your tribe has to decide on is rice and beans. And the tribe does not decide. Terry immediately says beans. I mean, I would not expect anything else, but there was no conversation. Terry was just like, I am the tribe. I say beans, and that's what's going to happen.
Why on earth would you go with beans?
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say. I feel like if you have a choice, there is no universe where just eating beans after eating nothing is going to be okay. If you have rice and beans, you at least have something to kind of like settle your stomach. But like just beans? Like they're going for it because they're like, they have protein. But like that was, as we see, did not work out too well for them.
After seeing Terry's shirt, they should have known he was not good at decision making and they should have went with the rice.
He thinks they're all thinking, oh, that guy wore a swimsuit. He's really good with decisions. Meanwhile, they're all thinking that guy wore a stupid fucking shirt with his swimsuit.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, Lamina chooses the beans and then Kasaya chooses Terry to go back to Exile Island. They're like, you know, out of respect, man, we got to send Terry back. Like Terry is like this, Terry is such a profoundly important figure in the game. They're like, we gotta do it. This man we've never spoken to, like, we trust him, like, we respect him so much. The older military looking man, it's just like the way they frame this is like, you know, we gotta do it, man. The same way like Lamina did with Bruce. They're like, well, obviously
hey, he's so revered already. Together. It's as if Terry is a returning player somehow already.
Yeah. And so Terry goes off to his little island and Kasaya goes back to their camp and it is completely and totally flooded. They have no fire and they have to eat all of their fish raw.
Yeah.
Sashimi, raw fish, sushi.
Is this so? Maddie and I both don't eat fish at all. Although Maddie, you eat sushi definitely a lot more than I did. Is this okay? I know it's asked and they're all like, yeah, but do they do something to sashimi when they serve it? Or
I don't eat fish.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, I did love sushi back in the day, but I did not ask questions. I just showed up to the dining hall on Sushi Fridays, took my spicy crab roll and brought it back to my seat. No questions asked.
I mean, it's like it still needs to be like handled well. Like there's always the risk of like food poisoning and bacteria.
I'm sure Kasaki is handling it well.
Yeah, I would say this is a scenario.
Everything else so well.
I would say this is a scenario where you're maybe at a higher risk of tummy hurting because they're eating cold, raw,
Shane is
wet
eating
fish.
It like a rack of ribs. He's just holding the. It's so gross.
I guess I don't. Could they not have like waited until they had a fire or something to like cook the fish, or they just had to eat it all now?
I guess because they didn't know when the rain would stop, and it didn't stop. Like they it rained all night, so like they were like, well, it's better to eat now than like wait it out and then it goes bad.
All right. And I guess they know more than I do.
Yeah. You're not smart enough for Kasaya, apparently.
No, I'm not. I would never suggest that.
And then meanwhile, it looks like everything's going great on Lamina. Like, the sun is shining. They've got, I don't know if the sun's shining. I didn't make note of that. It's not flooded. They've got beans. And I mean, the beans, you have to be really careful. If you don't cook them well enough, you can get super sick. I don't know. Like, if they had dried beans, like, if you don't like soak them long enough, I don't know the state of the beans they were given.
They didn't look super cooked. There was a lot of water in that pot.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. So they have just a bunch of beans that don't look well cooked, and Austin and Nick are immediately like, uh-oh, SpaghettiO, like, and Nick keeps talking about the detail. He keeps talking about the details, like, the he says the details of that excursion, then the gastrointestinal details.
Unfortunately, the most exciting that Nick has ever been.
Yeah, talking about his bowel movements.
This is his big moment.
I had such a crush on Austin when I was 11 and thought that he was, like, the most masculine man in the world. This man is wearing a thumb ring. And he just looked so gay, like, even beyond that. He's, like, shaking curls out of his face. I just... Like, how old are Nick and Austin? In this, I assume they're the same age and are like twins.
I'm gonna say that Austin is 24.
Okay, I'll lead a guess. You guys both have to guess, and I'll tell you who's right.
Austin is 24, and 24 Nick is probably 30.
I think Nick's 28, and Austin is 25.
Okay, remember your numbers because I don't remember what you both just said.
Okay.
How do I figure out how old he was when they filmed? Okay. Nick was 25.
Oh, much younger than I thought.
Yeah, he's 25. And Austin was 24.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, wow. Okay. So they're
one for
like
two.
Again, I assumed that these guys were the same age because it
and
seems
yet
like
you guessed different ages.
Well, you seem so
very
confident,
interesting.
But you, like,
very
you thought,
interesting.
You thought Nick was 6 years older than Austin.
Well, I thought that that was a man that was older than I am, and it turns out I was incorrect. I would have never guessed in a million years that I am older than Nick Stanberry. That's crazy. You never you watch Panama when you're 12, and you say, "There's a man that will I will never reach that age of the great Nick Stanberry," and then all of a sudden,
life comes at you fast.
Life comes at you
Stanberry.
Fast.
Is that the name of this podcast?
Yeah, Stanberry? Yeah, that's actually, so next summer I'm going to do a season where we just talk about boring white men on Survivor, and it's going to be called Stanberry.
This is
I'm
good.
I'm Stanberry.
Don't even have to change anything.
What's Austin's last name? Like
Cardi.
Olson. Cardi.
Cardi B, Cardi A.
Austin Cardi B. He's a Barb. No, that's not what it is. Wait, are they Barbs?
I mean, he might also be. He may also be a fan of Nicki Minaj.
Oh, okay.
You may.
What are Cardi B fans called?
I don't know, Cards?
Austin Cardis.
Austin Cardi B's. The
Card
fan
Card
name.
Hearts.
Cardi Gang.
Cardi Gang.
Cardi Gang.
And we are part of the Cardi Gang here on Survivor Stanima.
And we are.
Cardi Gang or die.
The way you called it Survivor Stanima makes it sound like this is a season of the show Survivor. Like, actually. So, after Stanbury's gastrointestinal details, we cut back to Kasaya for the moment of the episode, which is the moment that Bob and Bruce make the fateful decision to go into the outhouse during the rain and drink all the wine because they apparently do not have spots in the shelter. That's their reason. They're like, yeah, they took our spots, so like we can do whatever we want. And they bond, and Bob is
the
like,
logic,
I'm
the logic is sound.
Yeah, I know, it's good. Like, if you can't sleep in the shelter, drink all the wine. Mm-hmm. And Bob's like, I'm bailing at Merge. Like, I fuck these people. it's you and me to the end, Bruce. Like, they're like two drunk girls literally in the bathroom. Like oh my God, we are too good for these girls.
I'll never vote you out. It's us to the end.
Your Livestrong bracelet is so cute. Your two bucket hats on top of each other are adorable.
I love your rock garden. And then the next morning, the rain has stopped, and Kasaya's like, huh, the bottle of wine's gone. And then Suri, like, finds Bruce in the scene of the crime with the bottle of wine in the Casa de Charmin. And Bob instantly, they're like, I think Courtney's like, did you drink the wine? Bob's like, yeah, drink it. Like, just instantly, Bob just has absolutely no shame about it. He's like, yeah, that was me. What of it?
Watching it back, I was like, how did they expect to get away with this? And then it's like, Bob was just like, no, yeah, we did. Like, Bob had no intention of ever trying to hide the fact that they drank the wine. He does not care at all.
And Bob and Courtney's like, and how do you feel about that? And Bob says, I feel swell about it. This is his exact words.
Oh, you feel swell about it? Courtney's such a good narrator because she's like, yeah, so last night, apparently Bruce and Bob slept in the bathroom or something. I don't know what's going on. The way she's describing it, so good.
Yeah. Do you think that they are in more or less trouble because they drank it together? Because Bruce at first is like, my plan was just to drink it alone. Or Bob is like, my plan is just to drink it alone. But then Bruce came in there too. And it's like, why does he say that? Does that give him... Yeah. Would that be better if he meant to drink it alone? Like, why does he say
I don't... That is a weird justification. Oh, never mind.
It's almost like Bob wants to take more credit for the bad thing. He's like, no. This horrible thing I did was all my idea.
Like, I was going to do a cool thing that everybody would remember forever on Survivor, and I have to share it with Bruce.
And then he's like, Bob's like, oh, I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad that I stole your wine. I feel bad that I deprived the rest of the tribe of wine. But you, Courtney, specifically, I do not feel bad. And then he says in confessional, I wrote it down, she has the right to be upset, but I don't care what she thinks. She's probably one of the two or three most annoying people in the world.
See, I think it's
probably pretty fair.
This is a great quote because it's like he's acknowledging that what he did was wrong at first, but then he's like, yeah, but I really just don't care about Courtney at all. And then, I mean, saying something like she's the most annoying person in the world, that would be like, okay, that's just hyperbole. But you can tell because of all the qualifiers he says, he's like, she's probably one of the two or three most annoying people probably in the world. So it's like,
I
was like, yeah, actually, you might be telling the truth now. You're not just saying this for hyperbole's sake.
Yeah. And I don't agree. Courtney isn't even one or two of the most annoying people on this season.
I was going to say on the tribe.
Okay. Maybe on Kasaya, yeah. Like, to me, if any of these people are coming back, Courtney is, like, very high on my list.
100%. Courtney's the MVP of this tribe.
I'm assuming you think Terry's the most annoying person on this season, Lita.
I think it's definitely Shane. Like, just in I am not a Shane fan at all, and all you second chance lunatics are insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think probably Shane and Terry are the most annoying. I don't know. Oh, there's a lot of annoying people on this season.
Well, I was watching this episode with my mom in the room, and she did not care for Aris. Did not know who he was, even though she has even though she has watched this season before, but she not a fan.
She's like, that guy, not a fan.
Yeah.
Well, she shouldn't have spoken to Bruce like that.
She was, who is this guy? He's terrible. I was like, listen.
Listen, yes, but not for his actions on Survivor.
Yeah.
Look, Mom, you're right, but for the wrong reason. And as a math teacher, I can't give you credit.
So at Exile, Terry's just like, because he has the idol, so he's like, I just get to have a little boys trip to the island. He's just going to try to stay strong for the challenge. And he's worried that Lamina isn't eating or hydrating enough without him, which is very funny. He's like, you know, well, they're not doing well, but it's because you picked the beans.
Okay. If you are wondering if you're looking for incontrovertible proof that Terry is so boring, think about the meal that they have made of people's trips to exile. Even when they don't do anything, they're not looking for the idol. Sugar, eating the fruit in the hammock. Obviously, Coach, you can make a meal out of somebody on exile. Terry just literally was there all day, like, chopping with a machete and going, like, hope those guys are doing okay. Like, that's, I don't think that he said anything to the camera that was worth putting in there.
No, Terry hasn't said anything interesting all season so far. You were calling the second chance lunatics the people that voted for Shane. I say the people that voted for Terry were the second chance lunatics.
Yeah, but they weren't really like in my line of sight. Those were the Facebook moms. You know, like, I understand the contingent that was voting for Terry. We had to like interact with people that voted for Shane.
And people are on Twitter still talking about Shane on second chances. So it's time we let that go.
Yeah.
As a society, it's time to stop speaking about that.
He was in the fucking Damien Chazelle movie. He doesn't need Babylon. Was he? That's what it's called. Shane was in Babylon.
He was La La Land.
He was La La Land?
A lot of people.
Shane Parrish famously in the pilot episode of My So-Called Life as well. That's what I know as his most famous acting credit. Like a few years ago, I watched the show and I was watching the first episode and I was like, is that Shane Powers? And then sure enough, I looked at the credit, guy number one, played by Shane Powers.
Wow. I watched My So-Called Life in college, so I definitely would have been like peak on my lookout for Shane Powers, because that was like,
I recognized the voice before I recognized like the face. And now, of course, we all listen to his radio show every week. That's what we know him from mostly.
Sorry, I just watched Dan his head on the bottom of a rowboat.
Do either of you watch One Tree Hill?
I'm currently watching One Tree Hill. Oh. Thank you for asking.
This is funny because I recorded these podcast episodes out of order. I've actually recorded next week's episode first. So in next week's episode,
Audrey and I mention One Tree Hill. Mention One Tree Hill.
No, Austin is in an episode of One Tree Hill.
Such a good response to "Are you watching One Tree Hill?"
Wait,
who is Austin in One Tree Hill?
He plays who is it? Let me find young Dan Scott.
Get the fuck out of here!
He does. He's in the One Tree Hill. I'm looking at the One Tree Hill fan wiki.
The most masculine man on earth.
The most masculine man, Dan Scott, of course.
So, yeah, you have that to look forward to whenever you get to that episode. I don't know what. Let me see. Crash Into You is the episode.
Do you know what season it is?
I'm looking for season one, episode four.
Oh, okay. So Austin Carty was not top of mind when I was watching the fourth episode, I guess. I'm going to have to go back from the top and watch this because I did not watch.
Lotus Poo.
But I do remember thinking, wow, is young Dan Scott supposed to be manly? Because he's seeming a little gay in this episode.
He's got a thumb ring.
Who's Dan Scott? Is he like a dad? Choice,
Dan Scott is like the villain of the show. And yes, also a dad. He is the dad of the show and the villain of the show.
Oh, villain dad. Oh, I'm looking at him. He does look villainous.
I mean, he's like one of the worst characters. And he's a perfect villain. Like, I love watching him on my screen.
He looks like sort of an old Austin Carty.
Yeah, yes, that is what people are saying.
Oh, is he he's involved in a famous scene involving a dog, right?
His potential heart gets eaten, not to spoil.
Okay, that's the one thing anyone ever knows about One Tree Hill.
That is the one thing I knew about One Tree Hill, and when I was watching, I was like, I've seen this scene. My mom's like, what? You've seen this scene? I'm like, yes, this is a famous scene.
He was in the film adaptation of Atlas Shrugged. Sorry, not Austin Carty, the guy who played Dan Scott.
You got me really excited, Rita.
Paul Johansson?
Did you guys know that there's a tooth? Yes, with Taylor Schilling from Orange is the New Black. Did you guys know that there's a 2011 film called Atlas Shrugged Part 1?
Part one.
I remember hearing about that. I do remember hearing about that.
I don't know if part two ever
Partless.
Came out.
Partless two.
Oh, it did come out. It came out the following year with different people. I don't think that Atlas Shrugged had a sequel.
All right. Let's circle back. I hope our listeners enjoy next week when I discover Austin Carty being on One Tree Hill and introduce it as new information to my guest. So
I can't wait.
I love knowing the future. So at Lamina, before the immunity challenge, we just see Austin and Nick still, they've been pooping a lot and like having lots of bodily functions, and Austin's basically like, yeah, we're not gonna win, we're fucking busted. But
I don't understand, are these beans like, do they have an illness that only affects young people? Like,
it's
why
just
didn't
the two young dudes
sick?
Yeah, I don't
I
know,
I think they ate too much.
Maybe I don't know, maybe young people have weaker gastrointestinal systems. I don't know the science behind it.
I don't know either.
Season one of One Tree Hill would have been before Survivor Panama. So that means, yeah, Austin Carty was not even 24 yet when he was playing young Dan Scott.
Wow. He might have been 22, 23. Who knows? All right, we'll play a game. Guess how old Austin Carty was. Just kidding.
In this year. Guess how old Austin Carty was in this year.
It's a math test for today.
I'm going to give you a season of One Tree Hill, and you tell me how old Austin Carty was during that season. Everyone's favorite party game. Carty game, sorry. It was right there.
Okay. Carty game. Right there. Wait.
Carty game.
I was laughing too hard to get in there fast enough.
Yeah, I recently also in next week's episode discovered I can do. So that's why you got one of those. What's this one? That's so fun. Why on earth would I use that?
So when I was...
What do you mean, what is it? It's
no, it's just dramatic song? Piano.
Oh. Oh, I thought you were quizzing us. What is this?
No, I was just... There's like a little soundboard at the top of
like,
my
what
recording.
Mean, what is it?
Okay. Oh, God. This is exactly how I thought this podcast was going to go. And I mean
Thank
that
you.
In the best
Thank
way.
You.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
you
that
just
was
called me Zach Wurtenberger.
My goal of every podcast I go to is to come away from with the host saying, I think we talked about that episode.
Yeah.
Not sure.
So, immunity challenge, there's paddling, there's skulls, there's coffins on the ocean floor, and then they have to assemble the skull and put the golden skull on the top. Very exciting stuff. This is a very skull-heavy season. But all I wrote down was Lamina wins, because Saya just, like, sucks really early on and gives basically Sally and Austin enough time to figure out the puzzle. That's about it.
Yeah, this one was a snooze.
Yeah, and Kasaya and us as an audience don't yet know that Suri is one of the greatest puzzle solvers of all time. So
true,
exactly.
Better out, even though there's a puzzle.
If they had just put Suri and Bruce in, this would have been, they would have been done in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Bruce would have channeled his zen that he's gotten from the rock garden, and
in the meantime, Suri would just solve the puzzle herself.
Yeah.
And then we would have had to lose one of our iconic Lamina members.
Of course, that would have been tragic.
Thank God they all make it to the next round.
So thankfully, we don't have to talk about Lamina and their farting and pooping and whatever else is going on there, because they win. And we get to spend the rest of the episode with Kasaya descending into chaos because Shane is Shane, basically. So the vote gets kicked off by Shane. We want to remember that Shane is the one who suggests they vote Bobby out. This is important because Shane gets very upset when they try to vote Bobby out. Shane is like, okay, let's just vote Bobby out. Ours is like, no. And Shane literally says, it's gotta be Bob, dude. And Shane is, there's some gameplay here. He's worried about the young men teaming up. And so Aris, of course, wants an older man, Bruce, out, because Bruce is Bruce, and he thinks, for whatever reason, he thinks Bruce is a wild card. And Shane is just like, okay, whatever, Bruce. And then Courtney just says to Shane, so you're not writing down Bruce. And then Shane says, what are you babbling about? So it's like already, this is like already weird. These two cannot like get a vote together because they cannot figure out what's happening. And so it's like, okay, Bruce. And then Shane, for whatever reason, is like, I'm going to go swear on my son to Bob.
And I'm going to make Bob swear on my kid also. And make him actually say it too. Not just agree to it, but no. Literally say that you are swearing on my kid. And then then the return was terrible. And then what do I get? Well, my friend, you get sixth place, of course. Okay. So I'm going to swear on your son, and then you're going to bring me to... Okay, fine. Let's do it.
Like, to just instantly go from I'm voting this man out to we are ride or dies bound by the blood of my son is in the span of like 5 minutes. Like, and just the fact that Shane manages to get upset at other people for doing this. I mean, it's not surprising because it's Shane.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's such like an unforced error that he in like of a situation he's gotten himself into, because he's like so mad in a few minutes that they're going to make him give up, like, you know, like break his promise. And like literally if he had waited 5 minutes to do that, he would have never been in this situation.
Well, why didn't you tell me that an hour ago? they all pulled Alita. They were like, no, check the group chat. You said we wanted, you said we had to bug out tonight. Check, this is what you said.
I'm girls lighting.
You want to buy, and then they all just like shower him with, you were right, you were right, you were right. They're just like basically chanting at him, you were right, until he calms down. He's like, yeah, I was right. Okay, all right. Well, I'm not going to vote for him because in the first conversation I've ever had with him, I made him swear on my son's life. So we're bonded for life now, actually.
I wonder how many times somebody on Kasaya says, don't yell at me throughout the season.
We should have kept a tally. It's going to mostly be Danielle probably yet to Shane. I feel like Danielle has said it a lot to Shane, like, stop yelling at me.
Danielle has a truly unbelievable body. This is just what girls in 2006
Captain of
like.
Sports. Captain
yeah.
of Sports.
Double D.
Danielle Double D Lorenzo.
It's shocking. I just feel like there aren't bodies like this anymore. It's just very 2007.
That is the thing that's missing from Modern Survivor.
That's all I have to say.
Specifically Danielle DiLorenzo.
Specifically Danielle DiLorenzo. Have Danielle in every season. Why not?
Wasn't she supposed to be a returnee? Wasn't she on the like short list for like EOE or something?
What?
That would be a random
bit. Wait, I don't remember. Edge of Extinction was
Joey Amazing, David Wright, Kelly Wentworth, and Danielle DiLorenzo.
Or was it there? No, there was a C.
It was supposed to be. It was supposed to be Boston Robin Danielle coming back from Island of the Idols.
Yeah, exactly.
But she dropped out, so Sandra took her place, I think.
Okay, no. Okay, so
giant Danielle head. Yeah, they had to get rid of it. They had it already sculpted.
There were rumors that Danielle was contacted to be a returnee.
Started probably by
who started these? Who started these rumors? Was it Danielle DiLorenzo?
It was.
I believe her.
Like, I heard Danielle DiLorenzo was going to be a captain and get a giant stone head.
Is she doing the thing that the disgraced Mike Scoopin used to do every season, where actually I was asked to be back on that season too. Seasons 3 through 24, little known fact that Scoopin was asked to be on each one of those seasons and he turned them down.
All right, I should ask Martin at Inside Survivor. He would know. I'll get the inside scoop on whether or not Danielle was actually contacted. I'll use my
see what's up with Double D on my, Instagram.
Oh, she has I think two kids, or she's pregnant with her second. I remember when COVID started, she was really big into live streaming yoga, and I watched her do yoga, and I said, hi, Danielle, and she
yoga
said, hi,
teacher,
Christine.
Realtor, artist, entrepreneur, that's exactly what I envisioned.
Her Instagram- no, her being a realtor.
Her Instagram is private, so.
Oh, well, I'm in.
I'm sending Danielle hate, but.
Certainly not me.
She's wearing a Survivor buff as a mask in her cover photo, which is very me-coded.
Interesting.
But it appears to be a Survivor Philippines buff.
One of my favorite seasons. Good taste.
Wait, where are you seeing that?
I'm on her Facebook.
Oh, Facebook. I was going to say, I'm looking at her Instagram. That's not her Instagram picture. Oh, yeah, she's really cute.
I have four mutual friends, okay? I can see these things.
Wow.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing it, too.
I'm going to try to find Nick Stanberry's Facebook. see what he's up to.
I was about to say, well, apparently we're very close in age, but then I realized that he probably kept aging.
You think so?
I don't know. Maybe he didn't.
I was like, maybe we've like crossed paths or have mutual friends. We're like the same age.
And I feel like finding Nick Stanberry is going to be hard because Nick's a very common name and Stanberry seems to also be a pretty common last name.
Mine wants it to be corrected to Stansberry, which I believe is the plural.
Nick Stansberries. I don't think this is him.
It could be him, the one with the kid and the magpie.
All right, I'm giving up. What's the next segment on the show?
Okay, that concludes the try to find forgettable men on from Survivor on Facebook.
Should we do another round of One Tree Hill, Austin Carty? Gotta find a name for that show. That
game. I don't know. This Nick Stanberry I found on Twitter has some good conservative memes.
Could be him.
That
could be him. Okay. So before we get Ceri, Danielle, and Courtney coming together to make this vote happen, Courtney goes and does yoga in Bruce's Zen Rock Garden. And he says, to me, it's disgusting. I'd rather be on Exile Island than be around Courtney. Which is like, she probably should have asked. She certainly should have asked, but I think yoga is like one of the least offensive things you could do in a Zen rock garden.
I'd be excited. Like, I'd be like, people are using the rock garden. Like, this is great. This is why I made the rock garden. Like, yoga is a very Zen thing to be doing.
But she doesn't have Zen in her soul, Maddie.
That's how she's going to get it, by using a Zen rock garden. She should be thrilled. I don't know what he wanted.
He's gatekeeping Zen.
This is my Zen. I guess is everyone else just supposed to keep out, I guess, unless Bruce says it's okay?
Apparently.
Make your own.
All right, fine.
And so then Danielle and Ceri are like, let's just vote Bobby out. And then Danielle is like, this is my moment. She gets up. She's like, Courtney, you want to change the game? Or like, everyone says something. She's like, Courtney, you want to change everything?
Courtney.
I don't know what she says. I should have written it down.
Courtney. Courtney.
Hey, get over here, Courtney. Let's be clear, that was a joke impression. That's not my actual Danielle impression. And Danielle's like, let's include Shane in the Bobby vote because he wanted Bobby out and he'll be upset,
so happy. You know, he hates Bobby.
If we let him out. And so
Shane is going to be so happy when we bring this to him.
Like, Shane, we're going to do what you wanted. And he just starts yelling at Courtney.
You fucking idiots.
It's just to Courtney. It wasn't even Courtney's idea. Like, it was Danielle and Ceri's idea. And he's like, Danielle and Ceri are like, let's put up Bob. And he's like, fucking Courtney. Like,
Courtney,
he's fucking,
you fucking
ass,
fool.
Ass.
You couldn't have told me this an hour ago, Courtney.
Like, Courtney, I will contend Courtney is profoundly annoying, but like, Shane, like, the way he just always instantly directs like all of his rage to her is very, it's funny, but also very scary.
Shane is terrifying. People are always like, oh, they need to cast like more of these crazy characters on Survivor. And I'm like, I feel like threatened and unsafe by this guy. And he's just on my TV from 2006.
This season would not be quite the same if Shane was not here. So, like, yes, I'm glad we had this kind of presence on the season to lead the drama we had. But it's also, like, we don't need to put people through that every season. I think it's okay if, like, people aren't always, like, verbally abused every 5 seconds by their volatile tribe mate. It's like, it's probably okay that we don't have this happening.
Yeah.
So
it makes me feel unsafe.
Maddie, where do you stand on Shane?
I agree that he's the one of the reasons that this season is one of the reasons that this season is so memorable is memorable is obviously because of Shane. He is going to provide plenty of entertainment, but I don't like him as a person. I would never want to hang out with this man, but I understand. I mean, I also wouldn't want to vote him onto another season just to save the sanity of the people that he'd want to play. So I also get why we're calling people lunatics for voting him on. But, you know, has he made me laugh a couple times in this season rewatch so far? Yes, he has. So I can't pretend that I'm a 100% hater of Shane Powers.
Yeah, fair. I mean, like, again, glad he was here. Don't need to see him again. That's my stance.
I mean, Even he shouted "Tonight we eat" at the reward challenge. That got me pumped up.
You're like, yes, I will eat tonight.
Yes.
So at Tribal, the big discussion is, of course, outhouse skate. How could we not talk about outhouse skate? Bob is once again like, yeah, I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm sorry if you guys are mad. Like, he's just like, you know, sorry if I hurt your feelings, but I did nothing wrong. So it's like he just, I do love Bob as a character, someone who just goes on the show and is just like, they're there to play, but they're not willing to like compromise themselves.
Yeah.
Like, to like play the game. Like, people who are just like, no, I can't turn it off. And like, that is something I do miss in Survivor casting, of like, you know, we're casting lots of super fans now, but we're not necessarily casting people who are just going to go and be themselves and to the detriment of being themselves and getting themselves voted out. Like, if Bob had like been really contrite and like been like, you know what, that was fucking stupid, let me do a little extra work around camp. Like, with how messed up Kasaya is, like, it could have gone to Bruce, maybe. Like, he could have had a chance. But he, just because he's so like, nope, like, there's just, he gives the women on the tribe no reason to not control the vote towards him.
Yeah, I'm one of the people who think we need more people who don't care and don't know what they're doing. I'm sick of everyone being a super fan and playing for their best interest.
I just think they don't make psychos like this anymore.
I can find a couple. Put me on the casting team. I could find a couple psychos.
They just don't make them like these weirdos and put them all on one tribe. Like,
yeah, they don't.
They put themselves on one tribe.
they picked each other.
That's so insane.
That's why we could never. This is like, it's lightning in a bottle. Like, they put themselves there.
They're like, these are the people I'm gonna click with.
Like, Shane picked Courtney.
Like, she was like, I've got a good feeling about this Courtney girl. I'm gonna pick her.
What I do love about Bob openly being like, yeah, I didn't do anything wrong, is that Aris is still like wanting Bruce out. He's like, how about we talk about Bruce, hey? Like, Bruce did this too. He's so obviously trying to turn it on Bruce.
So even now he's trying to get the vote back on Bruce. He's like, I know we're all mad at Bob, but let's not forget about Bruce. He kind of sucks too, right? Am I right, everyone?
I mean, to be fair, Bruce drank the wine too.
He did, and Aris is right. And, and I love that Bruce is like, listen, I don't know, like, I know I stole the wine and, you know, I drank it all and with Bob Dog, but like, no one told me specifically that they had a problem with it, so like, why would I apologize? How was I supposed to know that people would not like that?
I love that Danielle defends Bruce by saying he's an older man and a wiser man.
You gotta respect your elders.
And Bobby's not a gentleman, as she said last episode.
He's not a gentleman.
So the vote turns out 3-2-1-1. So the way this happens is exactly Sari, Danielle, and Courtney single-handedly control the vote. Aris and Bobby vote Bruce.
Yeah.
Black Widow who? Shane votes Aris because Shane knows they're voting Bobby but doesn't want to vote Bobby and also doesn't want to vote Bruce for some reason.
I am making my vote disappear.
So he just votes Aris, and then Bruce.
Very dramatic. The magician of the tribe, Shane Powers. For my next trick, I am going to make my vote disappear.
Is he Batman?
And then Bruce throws a vote on Courtney, and I don't think Bruce thought anyone else was voting Courtney. I think he just was upset about the yoga.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. 100%.
Yep.
And so Bobby is the first man voted out.
In an episode where Bruce almost goes home, he stays by the grace of one vote. He is wasting a vote on Courtney for doing yoga in his rock garden. You can't write it any better.
This is exactly how I would play Survivor 2. Like, I'm laughing, but there's actually no doubt in my mind. I'd be like, what's one vote gonna make a difference? I'm just gonna vote for this person I don't like.
But it works out for Bruce. He is obviously left out of the vote, but Bobby is the first man voted out. And this is the first plurality vote since Gretchen Cordy in season one. So this is only the second ever plurality vote in Survivor history, which I did not realize. I did not realize it had been that long.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy. And also a great stat. And also, like, we're like seeing the origin of Suri, which is cool too. Like, this is great stuff.
There's obviously a Suri moment later in the season that gets a lot of the hype for her as a player, understandably so. But this is really where it started. And on the one hand, this is kind of like, it was the three women taking power, but it was also Shane and Aris and Bobby and Bruce voting all over the place. Like, it was more, this is a vote that happened more just because Kasaya is such a mess than, like, less of, like, let's split the votes. Like, because if Shane had voted with them, it would have been, like, would have been a 4-2-1, which still would have been interesting, but less funny.
Yeah, the Kasaya is a tribe where if you just get three votes going somewhere, anything can happen because you never know where any other vote is going to go.
And so I'll read Bobby's final words, and if we have anything else to say about him, we can send him off and then do our episode title. So Bobby's final words. I really don't know what to say. I didn't expect to be here this early. I feel like I never really got my game off the ground. I could have played it differently, but to be truthful, I just couldn't stomach a lot of these jokers. People like Kasaya were bonding together out of weakness and out of desperation.
What
Courtney, Danielle, and Shane are spineless little twerps, all of them. It's funny that Shane still gets... I think he doesn't realize Suri voted against him.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And just being around them made me want to throw up. You know, at least I don't have to be them. I get to be Mr. Bob Duck. Those are incredible, great final words.
Incredible, no notes. Amazing. I love that he signs off at the end by saying, I get to be Mr. Bob Dog, as if Bob is his first name and Dog is his last name. And Lita was saying they don't make players like this anymore. They don't make final words like this anymore. Everyone is always like, this was a dream. I have no regrets. I love Survivor. I can't wait to watch this back. This is how it should be, with him roasting everyone for him calling them jokers and saying that he was going to throw up and they're spineless little twerps. It's incredible.
I think Tom Hanks's niece is going to change that for everybody.
A new era of reality TV.
I think we're going to bring back mean last words because you know it's your last chance to be on camera.
The Mount Rushmore of final words game changers here. Mr. Bob Dog, Tom Hanks's niece. I don't have the other two prepared.
I don't know. There's some iconic final words in Survivor history. I'm just not one of those people who remembers those kinds of things.
I'm sure there's a podcast somewhere on RHAP about it.
I'm sure. Yeah.
I'm sure there's multiple.
But it's not for us to say.
So do you have anything else to say about Bob before we send him off into the sunset other than his incredible final words?
Honestly, gone too soon. It should have been Bruce. Bruce was just as much to blame for this as Aris points out. Justice for Bob. At least, like Aris said, at least Bob Dog came forward and said, I stole the wine, what of it, you guys all suck, and didn't try to pretend like nothing happened like Bruce did.
Isn't Bobby the one who's like, he was on the older men's tribe, but he's only like a year older than somebody on the younger men's tribe?
He was on the younger men's tribe, and he was the same age as Melinda, who's on the older women's tribe.
Okay, that's always what I remember about Bob Dog.
That's because he's part 32. Of the,
and you remembered it incorrectly.
That's always what I've remembered, this incorrect stat.
Well, I always remembered that he was a part of a stat like that. And guess what? You knew what I meant, so...
What are some of the things you don't remember? Maybe they're correct.
New segment. What things does Lita not remember? Which episode we're watching this week?
Of course.
How to put subtitles on an advertisement.
This is a very informative episode for Lita.
We just learned a lot this week. She learned what episode we were watching on air, that you can't put subtitles on ads on Paramount Plus.
How old Austin Carty
was on One Tree Hill. How old Austin and Nick are. And Bob was 32.
Atlas Shrugged.
A lot about Atlas Shrugged. And the sequel, of course. I think whoever of comes course. On for the episode that Lita watched should watch this episode instead. just for symmetry.
Okay, so anything else to say about this episode before we do episode titles?
I think we've said it all.
We've said it all.
What else is great. There? Bob Dog gone too soon. This season absolutely. Was when I was analyzing race and gender by like vote placement. This season was particularly brutal because it's like finally a man,
and then, like, black
the
man,
the only black guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it's still a great episode. But we do love Bob Dog.
All right. So episode titles. Lita, do you want to throw one in the ring? Yeah, it's like whoever wants to go first between you, I'll go last.
Maddie, you should go first since you did your homework, so I don't want to take yours if it's
okay.
You know.
Well, my favorite quote of the episode, and you tell me if this is too long for an episode title, but it was the one we were talking about where Mr. Bob Dog says she's probably one of the two or three most annoying people probably in the history of the world. Just the multiple use of the word probably, the qualifiers to say top two or three instead of just the most. It's perfect. It describes the chaos of the episode. I think it's a great episode title.
I think we can do that. It's perfect. We make up the episode titles here, so we can do that one.
Yeah, that was going to be the gist of mine as well, but let's do... Well, isn't Maddie's too long?
Hey, I asked if it was too long. Okay.
If
we
I'm
make up, you can do a long one too.
I had another one in mind, but I was like, that's way too long, and now I don't know what it is, so you do yours, and I'll go back and find it.
Mine is going to be Cerise saying when they come back and see the camp flooded, she says, come on, God. Which I imagine is what a lot of the play people on Kasaya are thinking just every day on this tribe.
Okay. We're going to go with, we're sitting in the outhouse drinking wine. I was like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't drink this.
Okay, great.
And you know what? He was right.
With this episode, I've really opened the floodgates with like how long these can be. I'm going to regret that decision because next week's
what is your favorite quote of the episode? No. This was a special exception. We did it because I didn't do my homework good. So Maddie deserves to win. So we can have him take the advantage this time. But everybody else better watch it.
Well, despite not doing your homework... Yeah, I did not impose a word limit. This is true. That was my own
fault.
Some
of these titles in modern seasons, they're getting crazy. They're getting pretty long out there.
Starting to sound like Fall
Out Boy. Sometimes they're just living.
Sometimes, yeah.
Well, despite Lita not doing her homework, I still think we had a really good time. The moment we realized that, I really look forward to re-listening to that reveal. Because I did, it was Lita, I did see her face, and I was like trying to read at the same time. And I was like, surely, like, maybe I read something funny, said something weird.
Maybe you mispronounced her name somehow.
Never in a million years would I have guessed that that was why.
You never think it's going to happen to you.
It was me like trying, the face was like me trying to decide when to interject.
I love where it happened. It was really funny for me to introduce you to, and the first thing you said was, I watched the wrong episode.
How are we going to top this? This is.
Yeah, I don't know. So where can people find you two? What would you like to plug? Direct the people where they need to go. Whoever wants to go first can go first.
I'll go, I guess. You can follow me on Twitter at MaddieFresh24, even though more and more every day it seems like people are fleeing the site. Maybe I should get on Threads. I don't know. I'm waiting to see if that's a thing that sticks around, if it's going to be what we're all doing. But for now, follow me at MaddieFresh24. And then, of course, subscribe to my lovely podcast, The Lonely Boys, on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. We are talking about not One Tree Hill, but another great teen drama, Gossip Girl. As far as I know, Austin Carty does not make an appearance in Gossip Girl, but I guess we'll find out. So subscribe there, and that's all I got.
Okay. You can find me on Twitter at Leda Tweeted. My political account is Leda for PGH. I still use it, even though I am famously the Sugar Kuiper of Pittsburgh politics. Never stopped crying and didn't get any votes. But you can follow me there for like political content. Instagram at Leda Graham. And I don't know. Give me a job. Add me on LinkedIn.
Okay.
That's what you should do.
Give me a job too. We're both looking for jobs.
Yeah. My name's Leda Brillman and I'm unemployed. Add me on LinkedIn so I can get one of those 500 plus badges so people will think I'm worth hiring.
I'm going to go add you on LinkedIn right now.
What do you
Alive
call it?
Live like, LinkedIn.
In French?
What?
LinkedIn.
All right, sending.
Okay. Wow, live on
I
air.
I followed you.
Let oh my the God. Job well, love my roll in now.
Never stop the hustle and the grind. Thank you for following.
You can find me. You can add me on LinkedIn, but I don't really use it much. I am currently employed.
Don't brag about it.
Other than LinkedIn, you can find me on Twitter at The Extine Files, on Instagram at The Extine Files. You can read my writing on Inside Survivor. You can follow this podcast at Stanima Pod on Twitter. I've kept the handle the same. Excuse me, Stanima. At Stanawatu Pod, I kept the same handle the same from last season because I didn't feel like changing it. You can listen to The Bitter Jurors and The Shadow Play Gaze. Yeah, that's it. Cool. Yay.
Yay. So,
we did it. We got through the episode that Leda didn't watch, but I was like,
that you could have fooled me.
Yeah, you did great, Leda. Kudos to you.
I was really watching it the whole time with the captions on. I just couldn't really participate in the strategy talk because it's hard for me to like really keep up with that. But that's why I thought
Sorry, my tiny woman was on the porch.
Opera fiance. I thought that the other one was perfect because it's a coconut chop challenge and there's a medevac, so there's no strategy or tribal council. It was a perfect episode for me.
So we will be back next week. I recorded it already, so I know it's a good episode, with episode 6, Salvation and Desertion. I already dropped who it is. The guest is my friend Audrey Z. Whitesides from the band Speedy Ortiz. Mal Blum was on the Shadow Play Gaze a lot with me. So it's a really fun episode. Very excited to put that one out. If you're listening to this, you're seeing this one came out on Thursday. It's just because we recorded on Tuesday and I'm not going to edit overnight. So we'll be back on Wednesdays from here on out. This is a special occasion. I did Tuesday nights especially just for Leda and Matt.
Yay.
Yay. Thank you again. Thank you both again. This is, again, like I said, chaotic in ways I couldn't have possibly imagined, but in the best ways. No Sarah Lucina impression, but we got some other impressions kicking around.
We got Danielle DiLorenzo impression, which is much more fun.
Queen Danielle.
All right. Well, thank you two again. I'll be back
thank
next
you for having
week.
Us.
Thank you.
Yes. Bye.
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 Bye.